Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for another opportunity the Lord has given me to come to share with you on this Saturday. Praise God. I think it's July the 16th, somewhere in that neighborhood. Praise God. But we are so thankful to God that he's given me another opportunity to come to share with you his life-saving word, the precious words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Pastor James A. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God. Once again, declaring to you, to the world, that Christ is the answer to all of our problems. Praise God. It doesn't matter how large, how small they may be. There is nothing too hard for our God. He's able to do abundantly above all that we could ever conceive in our heart and mind, if we would just put our trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, the Bible says. He will direct your path. Praise God. And we need direction today. Praise God. We need a word from the Lord. And I do have a word, another word from the Lord just for you today. Turn your Bibles to John 5 again. We're continuing on our series. It's part four in our series. And we're continuing, praise God, on this John 5:24 as our main text today. Look with me, please. And I do encourage you, do look with me. Praise God. Don't take my word or nobody's word for what thus saith the Lord. Look for yourself and see what God says to you. Praise God. God got a word just for you. John 5:24. Christ says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly," it means, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation," "but is passed from death unto life." Praise God. Now, that's the word of our Lord. Praise God. And it's a word that we can latch on to and we can hold on to, because our God is not a man that he should lie. Christ says here, basically, that we cannot lose our salvation. Praise God. That's Christ. This is Christ's mindset concerning our salvation. Christ says here, we cannot lose our salvation. But there are many. There are many teachers and preachers today. Praise God. They own a lot of the networks, medias, or religious medias. Praise God. And they are espousing this false doctrine that you can be saved and then you can lose your salvation. Don't believe it. Don't believe a word of it. I don't believe a word of it myself. Praise God. But once again now, I do encourage you, praise God, to go back and listen to the first three parts. This is part four in this series, and there will be a part five, question mark on that last closing out, question mark, but there will be a part five, but this is part four. Go back, look at three, praise God, look at part one through three there in this series, and you'll see that God has called us in this series to expose the false teachers and the false preachers. Praise God, who abundantly, just completely, almost taking over the network today. And you need to, praise God, to know whether what they're saying is true or is it not true. Praise God. And we know ourselves that, praise God, they are only what I call promoters of the big lie. They're promoting the big lie that a person can be saved and lose their salvation. Praise God. Ridiculous. Not true. Not true. But there are certain scriptures that they like to use, many of which we have already looked at in the first series. There are three in the series. There are certain scriptures that they like to use. So now let's continue to examine more of those particular scriptures that they like to use. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Now I want you to look with me. Excuse me. Look with me at the book of Hebrews. Praise God. Turn in your Bible there. Now, and I want you to, praise God, write these scriptures down. If you're not able to, you know, turn to them quickly, write them down. Hebrews 6, verse number 4. We'll start at 4. Paul says here, praise God, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened," praise God, "once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word," He called it the good word of God and the power of the world to come if they fall away. Verse 6. To renew them again unto repentance. Impossible, he says, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, all over again, and put him to an open shame. Now, these are Paul's words that the false doctors, teachers and preachers, prophets and so forth, they'll take these very words and they will make them say that you can be saved and you can lose your salvation. But now notice that Paul, first of all, Paul says, if they fall away, if they fall away, praise God. And actually, these people sound, these people here sound like they saved people, really. Paul said they hear that they were enlightened. They were enlightened. Is that what he says in the book of Hebrews? He said they were enlightened. Praise God. And they tasted of the heavenly gift. These people now, they tasted the good word of God. And also they experienced the power of the world to come. And they were also partakers of the Holy Ghost. That's what he says in these verses here. But now, is this really a saved person he's talking about here? See, that's the question that we have to, ask the Lord. Is this a saved person? Because now I know for a fact a lost person can be enlightened. Yes. Huh? Or shall I say a lost person can even know about Christ? They do know about Christ, just like we know about Martin Luther King. But I don't know him. I never really met him. I just know about him. So now, lost people can be enlightened. Lost people can be knowledgeable about Christ. And praise God, a lost man can have tasted of the Word of God. Yes, tasted the Word of God. And yet, it's tasting enough. Praise God, I can taste food, but it's tasting food enough. No, I need to digest it. I need to swallow it. Praise God. So you can taste, a lost man can taste the word of God, but now, if he have not swallowed it or just simply tasted it, praise God, and that's all, can it really be said that this person is saved? Hey, can it really be saved? And he only just tasted the word of God. He only just tasted the heavenly gift, the good word of God, the power of God to come, and the partakers of the Holy Ghost. He only tasted it. Amen. But you know, hypothetically, can it really be said again that Saul, when he was on that road to Damascus, was a partaker of the Holy Ghost? Okay, when he was convicted, God convicted him, the power of God convicted him. Can I say that that conviction that came upon him, probably were over and over again for days and days at a time, can I say that he was a partaker of the Holy Ghost? In other words, he was wooed by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And but now, unlike Saul, remember King Saul, go back to King Saul. Saul, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit over and over again in his behavior, his disobedience to God, and also his treatment of David. He was convicted over and over again. So he went in and out of his mood, in and out of his mood, good mood, bad mood. I think that was a conviction of the Holy Spirit itself. But now, unlike King Saul, who resisted the Holy Spirit, he was lost. And he was lost, right? Without hope forever. Praise God. But now, Saul, Paul, he was saved. Why? Because not only did the Holy Ghost, not only was he partaker of the Holy Ghost, not only did he taste of the heavenly gift, but he also repented of his sins. He tasted it. And he also swallowed the word of God. Amen. Praise God. So now, can we really say, as the naysayers say, that this is a scripture here pertains to one that was saved and he lost his salvation? Can we really say that? Amen. Look at verse 1 again. Look at verse 1 again. We'll go back up to 1. He says, verse 4, that is, I'm talking about verse 4. He says, verse 4 there of Hebrews 6. Look at it again. For it is impossible. He says, it is impossible. Praise God. That's what he said. To renew them again. That last verse. To renew them again. Seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. And put him to an open shame. See, to believe that one can lose their salvation is actually crucifying the Son of God afresh. Amen. You're heaping suffering upon the Lord when we embrace this kind of erroneous doctrine. And this is what the Word of God teaches here. Amen. See, Paul is not here speaking about, I don't think he's speaking about a saved man losing his salvation. This is all about a lost man who has committed what I called, praise God, the unpardonable sin. When you go dealing with the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Spirit goes to moving upon you, and you not only, and he invests in you so much of himself to bring you to Christ, enlightenment and wooing of the Holy Ghost, he's reaching at you, and then you reject him, reject Christ, and then not only that, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Now that sounds like to me, praise God, that sounds like it's impossible to renew this kind of person. Amen. When we constantly resist the Holy Spirit and began to speak ill concerning his attempt to bring us to Christ. Look at Matthew 12 then. Come on, look at Matthew 12 now. I just don't think that we can squeeze out a saved man losing his salvation in the scripture here, but this is what they use though. Look at Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Matthew 12, 31, 32. The Lord says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Taste and see that the Lord is good." Can you taste him? Can you taste him without swallowing him? Can you do that? Amen. Praise God. That's the question right there. Praise God. But now, the unpardonable sin. It's only the unpardonable sin that we're not forgiven. All other sins we can be forgiven for. That's what the Bible says. It's not impossible that we can be forgiven. But now, the unpardonable sin, praise God, there's no forgiveness. This sin that is mentioned here in Hebrews that we just read, Hebrews 6 up there in verse 4, through 6, cannot be forgiven. That's what it says. It's no forgiveness in that particular sin because it says it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. So now, in this particular passage of scripture, Paul is speaking to my understanding, the unpardonable sin of lost men who were never saved. They were never saved. They were approached. They were wooed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. He reached out to them. Praise God, but they resisted him and even to the point of speaking ill or denying him altogether. Praise God. See, these people never can be saved. But now I don't think he's talking about saved people who lose their salvation. I'm just not there. Amen. But now these false prophets and false teachers, they will tell you that Judas is an example of one that was saved and lost his salvation. They know, yes, they will go refer to Judas many times. And they will use this scripture to back up their claim. Look at Acts 1. Judas, they'll say, Judas was a saved man. And look what happened to him. He lost his salvation. This is what they would say now. But now Acts 1, if you look at Acts 1 and 24 there, let's go to 24. It says, "And they prayed, the apostles prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen." Now, chosen somebody else to take Judas' place is what they're getting ready to do here. Look at 25 there, Acts 1:25, that he may take part, whoever we choose may take part in this ministry and apostleship. Now, they kind of dropped the gun here. God had a man already. That man was Saul. He was the one that God had chosen already. But God let him go through this process here, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas, by transgression, they said, he fell, that he might go to his own place. Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. Now, see, Jesus told us that Judas never really truly believed. Now, that was Jesus said about Judas. He never was saved. Christ basically said that. He knew from the beginning that Judas would betray him. Yes. And he knew that he was of the devil. Christ knew that from the beginning. Praise God. But now, that's a big lesson there. Go to John 6 and now let's see what Christ says. You know, we got evil people among us. Praise God. We're going to always have evil people among us. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. We just got to deal with it. Deal with it. Amen. Praise God. Look at John 6 there and look at 64. John 6, 64, Christ speaking again. But there are some that believe not, he says. That's what Jesus said. But now, he said, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe it not and who should betray him. He knew that from the beginning. He knew Judas was where he chose him, huh? But look at verse 65. And he said, therefore say I unto you, that no man can come to me, no man can come to me, except it was given unto him of my Father. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? But look what it says now. It says he knew, Christ knew, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe it not and who they were that were going to betray him. Going down to 68, let's look at a little bit more there. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word. Praise God. You got the word of eternal life. And we believe and are sure. We're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them. Listen to what Christ says now. Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Then it tells us who he's talking about. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Yes, he was chosen by the Lord. The Lord knew his heart. But the lesson here is that we'll always have these people among us. And many are in high places today and saying they serve the Lord. Praise God. So it's plain to see here that Judas was never saved, though. And you can't lose what you never had. You cannot lose what you never had. He never had salvation. Now, and so he is not an example of a Christian that can be saved and lose their salvation. He's not. This is not a good example. That they try to bring and fabricate and push upon us. We don't believe it. The scripture is clear here. Amen. So now it's plain. It's very plain. Praise God that you cannot have salvation and then lose that salvation. It's very plain. Okay, but now again, many of the prophets, the false prophets, they use a lot of examples of how when people in the Bible were saved and they lost their salvation. Yes. And we must admit that, praise God, the God had a man named Lot. Praise God. And they'll use Lot as an example of how you can be saved and you can lose your salvation. Look at Lot, they say. And we have to admit that Lot was guilty. He was guilty of many sins, wasn't he? Yes, yes, yes. Many sins Lot was guilty of. Praise God. He ran with bad company. Praise God. He moved into that bright light city called Sodom. And he got mixing with bad company at the gate there. You know, they kind of hung out at the gate, the important people of the town. So he mixed with bad company. He had very little, if any, influence. I mean, godly influence on the people in the town in which he lived. He had so little. So he made a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. And seemingly, you know, from what we can see how his life ended, he was one of those social drinkers, you know, like a lot of church folks are today. They're social drinkers. We're just social drinkers. Amen. But the only problem I have with social drinkers is the problem that Lot had. When he came into trouble, when the trouble came heavy into his life, he became a full-blown drunkard. Yes, he did. That's the problem with your social drinkers. You're social as long as everything going good. But when the doctor give you a report that the cancer is there, or when we lose a child or lose a wife or lose a husband, you are putting yourself in a Lot's position where you become a full-blown drunkard or drug addict or whatever the case might be. But now back to Lot now. Lot made a lot of mistakes, didn't he? Yes, he made a lot of mistakes. Praise God. He ruined the lives of his daughters. Yes, yes, he did. But did he really lose his salvation? No. Did he lose his salvation? Did Lot really lose his salvation? They say he did. Well, let's look at 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter. We'll see, did Lot lose his salvation because of his bad behavior? Let's look at it. Praise God. 2 Peter 2, and praise God, look at 2, and we're going to look at 7 there. 2 Peter 2, and we're looking at 7. 2 and 7. Praise God. 2 and 7. 2 and 7. Praise God. Okay, let's look at it. Yeah, we'll look at 7 and 8. And God delivered just Lot, it says here. God delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Just Lot. For that righteous man, dwelling amongst them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Praise God. Even in the midst of Sodom, Lot was called by God a righteous man. In the midst of his behavior, his misbehavior, God called him a righteous man. Just Lot is what he called. A righteous soul, had a righteous soul, the Bible says. But now, let us remember that Lot's righteousness before God is the same that true believers have today. It's the same righteousness that I have today. Praise God. Which is imputed. Imputed righteousness. The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That means that it was transferred from him to me. It's really not mine, but it's his that he transferred to me. Why? Because of my faith in him. Because I've trusted in him. Praise God. See, there's nothing here that we can take credit for. Nothing. Praise God. You can't take credit for nothing. Look at Romans 3. We know Romans 3. We're familiar with Romans 3 and 28. Romans 3, 28. It says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified before God. But by God's grace, though. That's right. A man, praise God, is justified. Amen. That's what it says. He's justified by faith without the deeds of the work. That's what it says. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without your works. See, it's not our good works, it's not our bad works that cause us to be justified before God. No, no. It's grace. Yes, just pure grace. Lot lost his family, didn't he? Yes. Lot lost his financial status. He lost his joy. All because of his sins. He did. But he did not, undoubtedly, without a shadow of a doubt, he did not lose his salvation. But this is the scripture, one of the many that they would use to try to sell us this bill of goods. Praise God. Amen. But now, one last scripture for today. Well, no, we don't say that. Some of these false prophets and false teachers, they like to use David. They like to use David, though. We're going to look at a couple more just before we close out here. Look, they like to use David as an example of how one can be saved and lose their salvation. David, they pick on David, just like Lot. Just like Lot. See, now David, again, committed great sin, didn't he? Yes, he did. Murder. Adultery. Praise God. But there's one thing that we must keep in mind, praise God, as we consider these Old Testament patriarchs. We must consider and keep in our mind that David's sins were under the blood, praise God, of Jesus Christ. Yes, they were. A man after God's own heart. Yes, yes, yes. Whoa, God, go. Did he earn this type of respect? No. God chose him. God know what kind of heart he put in him. Yes, he made mistakes. Surely, he lost his joy. He lost his peace of mind. He lost his family, the respect of his family and his peers, but never did he lose his salvation. Praise God. Never, 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 never. He said in his dying bed, although my house be not, praise God, what it should be, my house messed up, but God done made with me an everlasting covenant. Praise God, and not to be broken. Praise God. In other words, God has brought me into his family. Praise God. He lost a lot, but he didn't lose his salvation. And this was chastisement, the losing of his joy, his peace, and the respect of his peers and his family. That's God's chastisement for him. God chastised him. Praise God. But he did not lose his salvation. Praise God. And he knew this. He knew this. He knew this. He knew this. He knew it right well. Praise God. I want you to know today that if you're really saved, praise God, the devil in the hell can't take your salvation from you, because it's not predicated. It's not built upon you, but it's on Christ. The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at another one, though. Look at another before we get ready to close. Go to Psalm 51. 51 there. 51. Listen to David here. I love David. Listen at me in Psalm 51 and 11 there. Listen to David now. He cries out to God, "Cast me not away from thy presence." Oh boy, that's the frightening thing. Not he ain't worried about his salvation. It's the presence of God. It's feeling the joy, the peace that come from God each and every day that motivates us as believers. "Cast me not away from thy presence," he says, "and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And look at that verse 12. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." There it is. Praise God. Restore to me the joy. Now, notice, David is not asking for restoration of his salvation. He ain't asking God to restore his salvation, but to restore to him his joy. The fellowship, the presence of God, that he wants that again, the communion of the Holy Ghost. This is what he wants in his life again. Yes, praise God, David committed great sin. Yes, he did. But now, he never did. He never did lose his salvation. Praise God. He never became a lost sinner again. You can believe that. Praise God. He continued to praise and thank God for his forgiveness constantly. Psalm 32. Look at it then. Praise God. Don't take my word. Look at it. Praise God. He's been through a storm. But praise God, he's a child of God, and he's going to, he know that God's forgiven him. Praise God. Look at Psalm 32 and 1 there. 32 and 1. Listen at David here. "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven." He know he's forgiven. Praise God. "Whose sin is covered." Yeah, he knew it was covered. Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, you know, Jesus hadn't even come yet. Oh, but he understood the sacrifices. He understood all them animals, they were sacrificed. He knew that there was a Lamb of God coming, and through under that blood, praise God, he was going to be covered. Look what he said in verse 2 there, Psalm 32 in verse 2. "Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputed not iniquity." God don't hold him sins against me. That's what he said. "And whose spirit there is no guile." He said, I'm not trying to play like I'm not trying to pull one over on God. That's guile. That's being slick. You know, trying to see, can you pull one over? He said, I'm not there. I'm not there. I'm being honest with God. I made a mistake here. Praise God. But now, that's another scripture. We're going to get ready to close in just a minute. But I want to look at another scripture before we come to that closing point. There's another scripture that is foundational in the doctrines of the Catholic Church that is used to say that you could be saved and you can lose your salvation. Let's look at 1 John 1. 1 John 1. We're going to look there, praise God, as we prepare to wind down for the day, praise God. Look at 1 John 1 and 9. "If we confess our sins," oh, praise God, "if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's what the scripture, "if we confess our sins." Now, the Catholic, for many years, you know, long as I've been living in, and they set up those confessional boots within their sanctuary, confession boots there, where the members are, you know, supposed to come and confess their sins to the priest, you know, on a regular basis. You know, give them a little space, but they ought to come on a regular basis. They want to see them because they want them to confess their sin. If not, they tell them you could be expelled from the church or you could lose your salvation. Oh, they do tell them that. Praise God. They teach that Christ paid for our sins. They'll teach you that. Christ paid for our sins up until the time that we were saved. But after that, no other sins you commit after that. Praise God. You got to come. You must come and you got to confess. You got to confess to the priest so that the blood can be once again applied again to you. But the Bible don't teach that. Praise God. They made a great living doing that, because most people have to leave. You know, Al Capone, when he, Chicago, he didn't kill about 100 people out there, you know, on the street there, and he ran straight to the church. Didn't he go to the church? You know he did. He went straight to the church, and the priest was in the little booth there, and he said, Father, I've sinned. And, I've heard a lot of people, and what the priest tell him, well, my son, you're forgiven. Just leave a little blessing on the table for the Lord. So Al Capone leaves $10,000, and he done bought him a place in purgatory. All lies. The Bible don't teach nothing like that. Amen. Look at Hebrews 10:14. Don't teach a thing like that. Hebrews 10:14. It's Hebrews 10:14 said, for by one offering, Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering, just one, y'all, Christ perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering for sin. Praise God. One offering. See, unconfessed sin. You know, one offering for sin took care of all of our sin problems. All of our sin problems. Past, present, and future. Every last one of them. Past, present, and future. It is finished. It is finished. It's what Christ said on the cross, and that's what it is. Our unconfessed sins, praise God, it don't cause believers to lose their salvation. Praise God. And if this was the case, none of us would be saved if unconfessed sin. Because the fact is that every believer has within his life, every believer has within his life and his heart some unconfessed sin, whether it be commission or omission. They're there. Sometimes we justify, praise God, and even deny our sins. We justify the sins that we commit sometimes. But God's remedy for that is not to kick you out the family of God. It's not to push you out and unsave you. That ain't God's remedy. God got a rod. I'm talking about, it's a rod of chastisement. He know how to handle you. Praise God. God got an army of soldiers that knows exactly what button to push for you to get you back in line. Amen. But now, as we close again for today, let me say this. Every true believer that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, praise God, every believer, know that the Lord, if he saved you, if he saved me and saved you, he will not unsave you. No. Praise God. No, won't happen. Even though there are times when our behavior is not exemplary. There are times, yes. We know that he sits at the right hand of the Father. Why is he there? Because he knows. There are times that we come and confess to him, not to anybody in a little boot, and have to pay them money. And that money don't get you no far in purgatory. Praise God. You don't get to heaven. You just got to go in the layaway. You're in the layaway. That's all it is. Praise God. But that's not the word of God. Praise God. Even though our behavior is sometimes not what it should be. He's interceding in our behalf each and every day. That's why the Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. We know this. Praise God. We know this as believers. And you can also, you can that are not believers right now, you that are, don't know that you're saved right now, you can have this assurance right now. You have only to repent. Just repent. Ask God for forgiveness today. Invite the Lord into your heart. Yes. Praise God. What he says, he promised that he'll save you. Praise God. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Call on me. I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things. But you just have to be sincere. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Will you do it today? Will you ask God to save you and forgive you today? And he promised that he would. Father, I bless you today. Thank you, Lord, for once again for this opportunity. Lord, you've given me to come to share your word today. Now, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, Lord, that you speak to the hearts of those who are somewhat confused, even confused, maybe young believers out there confused about their salvation. Lord, speak to their hearts, open their understanding. And Lord, those that are unsaved, Father, I pray you touch them right now. I pray you draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you like this video, go over, hit that like button over there. Then you can go over and hit the subscribe button. And praise God, God's will. We'll come back tomorrow. Part five. Part five on tomorrow. We're going to be exciting. Part five. We're going to turn and look at the positive scriptures. Praise God, positive scriptures. But I'm concerned. I don't know. There may be one more because, you know, God, the Lord keeps telling me that some people, their excuse for not teaching this doctrine or once saved, always saved, because when we tell people that, they have a tendency to drift into sin and want to sin and get away with sin. But that's not so, though. So we don't know. We may have to rather wrap it up with a six. I don't know. But we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, Sunday, praise God, God's will, we'll bring you another word. Praise God, to hopefully encourage you and to bring you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember now, we are also on Sermon Audio. Praise God, Sermon Audio, James Dansby. We got over 400 probably podcasts on that one place by itself. Praise God. Then we got YouTube, and we're developing a little bit of on Facebook there. So now there are plenty ways that you can be encouraged and you can be to gain more knowledge of God's word just by tuning in to these broadcasts. But until that time, may God bless you. May God keep you is my prayer today. Amen.